Well, praise God. It's good to see everyone this morning. Bunch of world changers. You may wonder sometimes, like, why on earth would God think of me when he thinks world changer? It's pretty amazing how the enemy has been able to stop the church, but not just with a red light stop, but with a deception or a copy of serving God that doesn't get you to the power of God. There's a Christianity that allows you to spend your whole life serving God and will let you get to heaven, but it will never get you to revival. I've been talking about the two trees that God talked to me about of serving God. Now, I think I'm going to share a little more on that today. I was getting excited about praying in tongues and seeing some of the fruit of it early on. And I was in the middle of a bunch of preachers. And when you got a bunch of young preachers, that means everyone's fighting for the same opportunities. With praying in tongues, I thought, well, this is great. I've got to, because we all heard Pastor Dave preach it, but only a few of us jumped in on it. You know, Pastor Dave used to say, I got tired of going around to try to get other people's sheep to practice this message. Because he'd go preach and get everyone excited about praying in tongues and go back a year later and no one had really done it. And that's the hard part about praying in tongues. You can say to God, you know, God, I just don't have time to pray in tongues and worship and fast. And I understand there's seasons of life where you may have less time or more time. And I don't want anyone ever condemned about that. But the idea of I just don't have time, so I am excused from this process, God will say, yeah, I understand. No, I don't have time, God. I've got this responsibility, that responsibility, this part of my life. And again, there's seasons. You know, when had a bunch of young men come to me and say, now, I know Pastor Dave, he takes 30 days off and goes and prays and leaves his house and his family and we give him water. He doesn't eat. He just prays. Seeking time. They said to me, how do you do your seeking time like Pastor Dave does? And this is when I was here after a few years, and I said, well, when I'm old like Pastor Dave, and my kids are out of the house like Pastor Dave's, or grown up, then maybe I'll do my prayer time, my seeking time like Pastor Dave. But right now, my kids are at home, and I do my seeking time a little differently. I still pray. I still fast, even. But I don't allow myself to separate from the family and from life responsibilities unless God told me to. You know, there's a difference if God tells you to do that rather than, you know, we were having young men abandon their jobs. You know, you call your boss and say, I'm taking 30 days off to go pray. To them, they don't care if you're praying or in the Bahamas. It's you're not at work. And so they get fired, and in their 30 days of praying, their wife is handling all the bill collector phone calls, and they're having a wonderful spiritual experience. They come home, and they're broke, and the bill collector is calling. They don't have a job. Their wife's mad at them. And it takes a few years to fix the damage of what happened in those 30 days. Because they were trying to do something pattern after someone else. You know, so there's seasons. You know, like in my season with my young kids, I still sought God, still prayed, still worshiped, but differently than just excluding myself for 30 days. Because you can do both, you know, that you can seek God and succeed in this life at the same time. And so the argument, I don't have time, God will say, well, okay. I understand, but you won't. The problem is you won't get the benefits of spiritual growth. You won't gain the benefits because you disconnected from the things that cause you to grow spiritually. And for years, I wondered why it was so easy to dismiss praying in tongues and worship, the things that we practice for spiritual growth. The argument that says you don't need to do that. One time I was preaching here at the prayer center about seeking God and growing Him. And there was a guy, he was on his way out of the prayer center, but he met me in the lobby, and in front of everyone he said, "You're wrong." I'm just hot off the mic. I just finished speaking, so I'm feisty, you know. He's like, "You're wrong." I said, "What do you mean? You don't need to spend all that time. We're supposed to go out and win souls. It's about winning souls. We should be out knocking on doors and winning souls. That it's by grace. It's not by the works of prayer." And this wasn't a new guy. This was a guy who was on his way out. He had listened and sat under Pastor Dave's teaching for a long time and had come to a conclusion, that's too much work. And I said, "Well, what do you mean?" He said, "Everyone, our job is to go out and share the gospel and win souls." And I said, "Well, right now I have my wife is at home. It's a Wednesday night service." I said, "My wife is at home because she's nursing our little baby boy, Harrison, who was just born." I said, "Do you think that I need to tell her to put Harrison in daycare so she can go out and knock on doors and win souls? Or do you think there's a part of life where you're allowed to, God would think it's more important for her to work on our little baby boy than to go out and try to win souls?" There's an argument that comes against the spiritual growth. It's because they don't see the value or the necessity. See, what they did, if someone doesn't, how do I say this? When someone argues against growing up spiritually, they've let go of the hope that they can see little babies healed, broken bodies healed. They let go of that hope. They've let go of that vision because they've decided, I'll do something that's good enough. I'll serve God in a way that allows me to benefit but doesn't cost me too much. Because that's what we're finding out. To get to the place to live like Jesus said, the things that I do, you shall do also. To live like that means that you have to find a pathway to it. Why has it been so difficult to bring in a simple message? See, if I talk to you about praying in tongues, you will say, "Oh man, I can't live without it. It's my lifeline to God." If I talk to you about private worship, "Oh man, it's my lifeline to God." But how many of you have been through and know people who that's not their lifeline to God? Their lifeline, their life doesn't need that. How many Christians do we know where their life doesn't need that? It doesn't need hours of praying in tongues, doesn't need time of worshiping God or in the Word. See, that's the deceptive religion, I'll call it. Counterfeit. I want to be careful of that because it still gets you to heaven. But what it does is this counterfeit religion, this carnal religion, the religious walk with God, is it allows you to experience God, to see God work in your life, but it doesn't cost you your life. It doesn't cost you a cross every day of facing your cross. It doesn't require letting go of the power to make your future happen. So I was with all these other young preachers, and I thought, oh, this is great. I'm the only one practicing praying out of the whole group. We all got excited for about a week, then everyone else quit. I was just so dysfunctional, I knew I needed prayer. You know, I'm going to go higher. Like I thought we were all in a building a tree, and my tree is going to go higher because my prayer, spiritual praying in tongues, is going to let me go a little higher than the rest of them, and I'll be the most popular preacher out of all of us. That was my thinking back then. And I remember the Lord said to me, "No, They're two different trees. And I didn't understand what it meant at the time. But I knew that there was a tree that I was in, where I was practicing from, where I was learning from, where I was teaching from, where I was preaching from. A tree of belief system, a philosophy, a walk with God that I was in and living in that allowed me to experience God and know God and would allow me to get to heaven, but would never allow me to get to revival. And the Lord told me that the walk of the Spirit is a whole different tree. What I was beginning to walk in by praying in tongues was building something in me, a tree different than the tree I was living in. I couldn't take from the one tree, and I don't want to say religion, because when I say religion, you might think robes and, oh yeah, those religious churches with the stone buildings. And no, I'm not talking that kind of religion. I don't want to say carnal, because you might think, yeah, those greasy grace carnal guys, they're smoking and drinking in church. And no, I don't mean that by carnal either. I'm still trying to think of the right word for it. But it's a tree that you can serve God in. It's a religion. It's a lifestyle where you can serve God. You can see God in your life. You can hear God. You can walk in the blessings of God and the promises of God. But you'll never see revival. You'll still get to heaven, but it doesn't cost you to mortify your flesh while you're on this earth. See, these guys, if I can say it right, and as I describe this, it should be clarifying some things in you that you've seen in your own life. That why have I been praying and I find myself so different than my old church that I came out of? I'm not just better in the sense, no one's better, but I'm just not more spiritual. It's different. It's because that the ministry tree of the Spirit is only built by the Spirit. It's only built by things that come from God to you, from revelation, from truth, from love, from joy, the peace that comes from God into your inner man. Your outer man cannot add anything to it. So we're going to start here in John chapter 14. And I'll read this one verse in verse 17. The Spirit of the Lord, he's talking to the disciples, Jesus is. Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him or knows him. But you know him, for he dwells with you. Now, we're pausing there. He dwells with you. If you want to underline, if you're an underliner, that describes the process of the tree of the carnal man. Maybe we'll call it the outer man tree, the inner man tree. See, here the disciples were not born again. They're not even born again. And yet they've seen miracles, signs and wonders. They experience the presence of God or the anointing of God all through an Old Testament kind of standing, because Jesus had not yet been glorified. So these men who are carnal men, completely carnal, not even born again yet, if they decided not to accept Jesus after this moment, they would not go to heaven. Even though God used them and worked with them, they experienced God while they were not born again. Just like the Old Testament saints experienced God before Jesus even came to this earth. So that tells us that there is an experience that you can have with God, with his power, with his might, with his anointing. There's an experience you can have when you're not even born again. So it's through your carnality that you experience any of that. If I'm making sense so far, you can say amen. Amen. But see, Jesus says here that they know him. He dwells with you. That is speaking there about an experience with God, the Holy Spirit on the outside of you. He dwells with you. It's like a friend who's walking beside you. He's with you. And you watch him do the work. I'm with him. And you're with him. That's the relationship a carnal man could have with the Holy Spirit. But then he says, and will be in you. That's a whole different position. To have a friend on the outside versus having the Holy Spirit dwelling in you. Now we know that the reason the Holy Spirit could not dwell in them was because Jesus had not been glorified yet, and they had not had the opportunity to be born again. But once they were born again, the Holy Spirit was able to come and dwell in them and baptize them in the Holy Spirit. So when I talk about these two trees of serving God, two trees of walking with God, there's one tree that I was in where I learned about God. I spoke kind of like covenant. God, this is your promises to me. I hold on to it. I want to be careful because the language between the two trees is the same. Maybe you've had that problem when you're trying to talk to your family and trying to reason with them why you're living the life you're living. And you say, well, I'm just spending time praying in tongues. Dun, dun, dun. And they say, oh, yeah, I do that. And you can't say it, but you want to. Like, we're talking about two different lifestyles, buddy. Well, I'm just listening to God and obeying God. Oh, yeah, me too. But you know that they're two different standards. Not lifting yourself up, but you're expressing the cost that it's cost you to walk down this pathway. The price that it's cost for you to obey what God is speaking to you on the inside. And they're speaking to you like they're doing it too, but they haven't paid, you know, they haven't paid the price that you paid. And it's not that you're trying to be better than them. You're just trying to explain to them that what you're doing is not cheap. It's cost you. You value it. The tree of living for God, of the walk of the Spirit, is only built, it only grows by how much of God you give it to grow. It's not built by activities, it's not built by ambition, desires, passion, good intentions. It only grows by how much of this Holy Spirit, how much of the love of Jesus, how much of the knowledge of God you feed it. And it grows on the inside of you. The other tree, the tree of serving God without mortifying yourself, without cost, was a tree that I was trained in and did not realize it. Right away, you were taught to go walk in the things of God. Believe the word of God and go do it. And many of us have been broken because we actually tried that. Some of us trying to do more of serving God than we were prepared for. We ministered to people, prayed for people, and ran into people we couldn't get healed. Some people even got themselves in deep debt, financial trouble, trying to believe God. I'm a child of God. I'm an heir of the kingdom. So therefore, if I do this, God will bless it. And they end up losing all their money because they stepped out in something because they thought they believed the word of God, but they didn't, because if they did believe the word of God, it would have came to pass. I'm over in 1 Corinthians chapter 2. One of the troubles to understand the carnal tree is that it has opportunity to experience the Holy Ghost. If you're walking in that tree of living, of lifestyle, of ministry, you can experience spiritual experiences on the outside. just like the disciples did. Just because you're born again doesn't mean that tree, the spiritual tree, the walk of the Spirit, that lifestyle is instant inside of you. Because you can serve God through your outward man. Do you know you can know God through your outward man? They have whole Bible colleges built around intellectual men who have learned God through their natural thinking. Some of these men are not even born again, and they can quote the Bible to you in Greek and Hebrew. But yet they don't know God. Because you can experience God, walk with God, talk to God, see God operate to a certain level without ever growing spiritually, never praying in tongues, never even reading the Word. There's men who've only fasted who've seen God do things. There's men who, born again men, who've only worshiped and seen God do things. Well, yet everything else around them is dysfunctional and broken. One of the great wisdom of God is establishing with the old covenant, you might say, or the old rules, a pathway for carnal men who are born again but living in their carnality to still see God move in them. I mean, what a great idea to be able to allow the gifts of the Spirit to work in the church even if they are immature. Because at least still the church is growing, people are getting saved. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. We'll start in verse 12. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. So we now know the born again nature is the key to having a relationship where you can know the things of God. These things we also speak not in words with man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit teaches. So this is a wisdom that only comes from the Holy Spirit, not from man's opinion, man's idea of how to build a good church, how to establish a good move, how to organize and plan and motivate people. This is wisdom that only comes from the Holy Spirit. And he teaches comparing spiritual things with spiritual. See, this is talking about the Holy Spirit dwelling in you instead of dwelling, you knowing him from outside of you. You can live your whole life as a born-again believer. How many know you can get saved and not get baptized in the Holy Ghost? Not being baptized in the Holy Ghost does not stop you from going to heaven. It just stops you from walking in the Spirit. You can live your whole life as a born-again believer and never be baptized in the Holy Ghost and still make it to heaven. Can we agree with that? That you have some Baptist friends who think that praying in tongues is from the devil, but they're still going to go to heaven. Don't be afraid. Don't worry. They're still going to go to heaven. Some guys will teach, well, if you're not baptized in the Holy Ghost, that's a blaspheme. You're blaspheming the Holy Spirit. That's not what that means. But see here, verse 14. But the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him. Nor can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. You're wearing a natural man that will never understand the things of God because they only are discerned by the Spirit. But he who is spiritual... See, I want to be careful with the word spiritual because I know many people who in a service can fall out every time, can get happy and sad and emotional and excited all in like 5 minutes. And they are having, many of them, an actual spiritual experience on the outside with the Holy Spirit on the outside of them, touching them, ministering to them. We would call it maybe the anointing, or in some places the glory of God is here, and the glory cloud. In some places they call it an open heaven, where you see man striving to reach an experience of God, spiritual, but it's not spiritual because it's through their carnal man. The most spiritual experience you can have is when you pray in tongues for 5 minutes, when you worship for 5 minutes. Even reading the Word is a spiritual experience because it's going into your inner man. Chapter 3, verse 1. And I, brethren, could not speak to you as to spiritual people. So he says to the church, the born-again believers, I cannot speak to you as spiritual people. What does that mean? I can't teach you the deep things. He makes a comparison here between spiritual people and carnal people. He's making a comparison here between spiritual language and carnal language. I could not speak to you as spiritual people. I had to speak to you as carnal. So what is a carnal language? What does that mean? That Paul went up to him and said, Hey, bud, how you doing, man? Let's go down to the bar and get some brews and meet some girls and let's go hang out and cuss. I'm speaking to you in carnal language. A few cuss words every now and then kind of proves that I'm speaking to you in carnal language. Is that what he meant when I speak to you as carnal? That I'm going to speak to you in your language? I'm going to meet you at the bar and I'm going to cuss and flirt with girls with you and drink beer? Is that what he meant by I got to speak to you as carnal? My argument here is there is a way of serving God, like the First Corinthian church was doing, where they're having signs and wonders, and they're having miracles, but yet they were not maturing in the spiritual man. They were not maturing in the love of God. They were just serving God through their carnal, outward, natural man. And God was still showing up. The Holy Spirit was still showing up, even though they were born again and baptized in the Holy Ghost. If you went up to someone and they said, well, what do you do over at that church? And you said, well, we pray a lot. Like, what do you mean? Well, in tongues. Oh, I got baptized in the Holy Ghost too. Really? Yeah. Back in 1921, I got baptized in the Holy Ghost. Wow, so you've been speaking in tongues in all these years? Oh, no, I just spoke in tongues at one service, but I'm with you, my sister. I believe in baptism of the Holy Spirit and praying in tongues. How many know you can be baptized in the Holy Ghost, pray in tongues for one service, and never pray in tongues again? And the Holy Spirit is in you. I don't know what he does when all the time you're not engaging him or talking to him with him. What is he doing? Hello, I'm here. Hold your finger there. I'll give you another verse here. If I can find it. Philippians. Chapter 3. Gary taught this recently, a little bit of this. Verse 17, brethren, I join in following my example, and note that who so walk as you have us for a pattern. For many walk, of whom I have told you often, and now tell you even weeping, they are enemies of the cross of Christ, or whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly. Now, this is an extreme example, but I want you to see that the ones whose God is their belly, they're enemies of the cross of Christ. Any message that says you don't have to crucify every day your outward man is an enemy of the cross of Christ. They're preaching a message that excludes the showdown that you had to face when you first tried to worship God for an hour. That showdown, what was that showdown? Well, the devil was just on my shoulders. No, that was your outward man complaining. You're going to spend an hour and leave me out? See, Your hour man will sit in a church service where there's music going that keep it excited, where there's preaching going that gives it purpose and keeps it motivated. There's a whole doctrine, philosophy, style of serving God that is built around appeasing your natural man, making it excited about going to church and serving God. One of the biggest things that feeds you is purpose. I'm going to give you a purpose, make you feel valuable and purposeful. That emotion, that desire, that need to be valued and purposed, purposeful to God, is from your outward man saying, bring me along with you. I'll go to church if you give your outward man a chance to either die or go to church. It'll agree to go to church. Okay, let's go to church. But it's got to be that church. It's got to be a church that I am motivated and excited about. And you understand how dangerous this is, how powerful of a addiction it is to serve God while feeding your outward man's desires a purpose and value to God. Because in the end, what is God going to do with your outward man? He's going to cut it off of you. He has no interest in appeasing your natural man. That's why when I first went to prayer, the prayer closet and the outward man joined me, holding my hand, singing my song. I'm going to have a new big ministry, a new house, a new car. And after a couple of days of praying, it realized, wait a minute. You know, because think about it. You go to the prayer closet, your outward man's holding your inward man's hand. Yeah, we're going to get rich. We're going to have our ministry. We're going to be big. People are going to look up to us. We're going to walk in power. And you walk up to the prayer closet. There's the Holy Ghost waiting for you. He goes, come on in, come on in. And he lets you go in and he looks at your outward man and says, you stay out here. Shuts the door. That's rejection. Well, am I not good enough? No, your outward man is not good enough. It's not capable of understanding what is being spoken in the prayer closet. It's carnal. It's made of meat. But it has chemicals and personality and emotions and desires and thoughts. What we would call the soul, mind, will, and emotions, is much more complex than just you have a mind, a will, and emotions. And so it stays outside the prayer closet, but then you open the door, you come out, and he says, what did he say? What did he say? When are we getting the new car? And you say, I have no idea what he said. But see, a whole hour, if that's what you spent, that hour, the Holy Spirit spoke to you spirit to spirit, spiritual to spiritual, because now he can be in you because you're born again. And your inner man is now alive and lit up by the new nature, capable of holding on to that truth. And eventually, some of the truth in the inner man begins to confront the almost truth in the outward man. And that's when you start to fight for more of God. So many Christians who live their life and never experience that. They've never prayed in tongues enough to have a fight between their inner man and their outward man. When you remove the cross, you're saying you can serve God without putting the outward man on its cross. The desires of the outward man are not just smoking and drinking. That's the easy stuff. It wasn't drinking that got the devil kicked out of heaven. It was pride. There's things in us we don't even know are carnal base that seem spiritual. They dress up spiritual. They wear nice little pretty nice spiritual, nice flowing robes, clothes when you bring them to church. You pray in tongues enough, all of a sudden your inner man says, oh, that's not God. What? No, that's God. I remember when I first started losing motivation. I was like, man, there's something wrong with me. This praying's messing me up. I'm not motivated anymore to go do all this stuff. And the Lord said, no, I'm just removing the false motivation. See, I was falsely motivated to serve God because carnally, your outer man understands God up in heaven. A carnal understanding of God says, I am serving Almighty God up in heaven, and I have a covenant with Him. I have a relationship with Him built on, if I do good, I get good. If I do bad, I get bad. If I give, I get blessed. If I withhold my 10% and only give 9%, I'm cursed with a curse. And the outward man understands that kind of relationship. Your natural man understands because it can thrive in that kind of relationship. Think about in countries where they don't serve Jesus, they're not born again. You know, there's some countries where they don't preach Jesus that are so religious they can't have alcohol in the country. You can't have, why do you think they've dressed their women with black robes so that they're not attracting men? They'll lay their life down for their God. They're not even born again, yet they have the ability to give their whole life to service, however you want to look at it, to God. There's monks right now who spend more time praying, reading, and serving the poor than all of us put together, if you want to get down to the nitty-gritty. And they're not born again. So why aren't they in the bars? Why aren't they out chasing girls? What are they doing in a temple somewhere? Because the carnal man likes religion as much as it does drinking. Because it allows it access to God. But it's in power. You understand? It gives it the power. If I want God to come closer, I just do good. If I want God to stay where He is, I just stop. That's the fight that you have when God speaks to you and says, I want you to do this. And you feel on the inside, your inner man says, yes, my Father will provide for me. Because God is the Father of your spirit. Your born-again nature brought to life your inner man. And now your inner man knows God as a Father. My Father will provide for me. Your outer man says, no, He won't. We're not good enough. We haven't done enough yet. See, the outer man understands works. The outer man understands that kind of relationship with God from the outside. But now that you're born again, God wants to have a relationship with you, spirit to spirit, father to child. And the outer man is left out of the picture. So there's whole ministries, denominations, built around how to appease to your outward man. And they have spiritual experiences. They know the Holy Ghost, but they haven't done enough to grow in their inner man. So they're living in a tree of religion and don't even know it. It's so deceptive. You can spend your whole life thinking you're doing a great work with God. You still get to heaven and you did some good works. And never reach revival and still be okay with it. Still be, oh, we did good. I got my big house. My family's intact. I got my health. Bless God. I have succeeded in life. Why is it in us that you're fighting so hard to see these children healed? Because the only way that you'll have enough gumption to fight what the devil tries to bring against you is if that gumption comes from the inner man growing in God. That's where that peace is that helps you to overcome the war and the battle of abandonment and rejection. Many Christians fight on these two trees in the sense of you have to leave the one tree of serving God without the cross, without crucifying the flesh. If I were to say to this carnal tree of religion that gets you to heaven but doesn't get you to revival, yeah, we need to crucify the flesh. Amen, brother. I crucify the flesh every day. Every day I tell myself no. The other day I was about to go to Starbucks and get a triple caffeinated cappuccino. And I said, no, I'm just going to get a double caffeinated cappuccino. I crucified that flesh. I told it no. Instead of two cheeseburgers, I only got one cheeseburger. Praise God. Glory to God. But the kind of flesh that you're going to have to crucify is when he says, I don't want you standing, coming to me, approaching me for finances based on what you gave. I want you to come to me based on who you are. And the outward man is left out of that relationship. See, speaking spiritual things to spiritual people and speaking carnal things to carnal people, there's a language of the spiritual tree of relationship with God. And there's a language to the carnal tree of relationship with God. Just like there are two trees of serving God. And this is the clash that I find myself in constantly as a preacher with other preachers, is that we sound the same, but we mean two different things. And I'm the one that gets dismissed. Yeah, I got it. No, you don't understand. If you just pray in tongues. Oh, I do that. The Holy Spirit, He's the answer to your victory. Oh yeah, praise God, I love the Holy Spirit. See, I'm talking about spending time with the Holy Spirit. And what I mean is I'm going to go sit down and pray for an hour when my outward man complains. What they mean is they're going to take their outward man to church and dance around in the Holy Spirit and have a great time. Their experience with God is on the outside. Mine is on the inside. There's whole denominations, whole structures built around preaching to the carnal man. How to make you excited. Back in the 70s, you went to I want to be careful because the carnal tree of ministry still allows you to go to heaven. It speaks to people and tries to get people to come and give their life to God. It's good enough. It's not a bad tree. It's just a good enough tree. It'll never get you to revival. But there are many people that will not pay the price that you're paying. Pastor Dave said, if there's a good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. If you've settled in acceptable, then you're going to want an acceptable preacher. You won't want a perfect preacher. Because a preacher who preaches perfect will drive you crazy and demand more from you. So you find yourself an acceptable preacher and live there. But the carnal tree allows and feeds your carnal man. Back in the 70s, they had disco balls and strobe lights and smoke shows on stage. And now in the attempt for the church to appeal to this generation, it's always growing and adapting ways to appeal with the culture. And so it's some of this stuff has come into the church. And praise God, we're doing it in Jesus' name. But why, what is with all that? Why is that necessary? Because it's appealing to the outward man's emotions to get you excited about worship, excited about God. And what you find is that everything in the name of Christ that's on this world, every message preached, every song written, every prophecy given, every service, every worship, comes from one of these two trees. It has its own language. Each tree has a different language. One is spiritual, one is natural. They just use the same words. And once you see the two trees of serving God, you can almost instantly, when someone gives a word or gives a song, a prophecy, you can hear which tree it was birthed in. Because the language to the carnal man is a carnal language. It appeals to your carnal man. Every offering, there's good offerings, there's spiritual offerings, and then there's carnal offerings. It's not bad to talk about money. It's not bad to teach people why they should give and how to give. We just have to be extra careful because it has been abused so much from the carnal tree that we can't be caught being compared with them or thrown in the same picture with them. Because we may use the same words, but we mean two different things. From the carnal tree, God has to use your calling to bring his gifting. It can't be duplicated. That's one way you can see. The one way you can see which tree it comes from. There was one guy, one church, one of the early, they called it seeker-friendly churches. Massive church, lots of people. They hired their worship leader to write songs. And he used to write commercials, songs for commercials, jingles that were fun and catchy. And they just hired him to write songs for the gospel. Catchy, fun. Just because the song sounds good doesn't mean it was birthed in heaven. Just because the message sounds good doesn't mean it was birthed in heaven. They're two different trees. I can't duplicate in the carnal tree what God is doing for me. In the carnal tree, God has to use your calling to how he operates through you. The millionaire said, yeah, I'm going to tell you all about being blessed. How many would like to have $10 million, $20 million like I do? How many would like that? This is a guy who's worth $20 million, a minister. And he was kind enough to say, what God does in me, he can do in you. What God does for me, he can do for you. But what he didn't realize what he was saying, because one of his advice was, you know, the Lord told me to quit wasting his money. And I'm going to tell you how to get money. Go down to the bank, get $1 million loan. And then I want you to go buy houses. And then you're going to rent out those houses. And in 20 years, you have multiplied your money like you've not believed. Well, he lost me. I'd get a loan for $20 million or for $1 million. Hi, banker. I'd like a loan for $1 million. Okay, what's your credit? Credit? You mean like my credit card? What do you mean by? What do you have for collateral? Well, I got a 1921 car out here. It's like a man who's 6'7" saying to you, praise God, God has blessed me. Amen, brother, amen. I'm a star in a basketball team. And I want to say to you that what God can do for me, he can do for you. But see, that's not fair to say that, even though you're trying to be nice. That's not fair. Because as much as I practice, I'm never going to be as good as a 6'7" tall professional basketball player. I'll never be able to jump as high. But see, that's the language of the carnal tree, of ministry of the carnal tree. The language is, yes, what God did for me, he will do for you, says the 6'7" tall basketball player. Says the millionaire who's got the ability to make money. the calling to make money. Says the professional singer to the non-professional singer. Man, I don't know. I just get blessed. I keep getting asked to sing at all these churches and all these places. And people just love when I sing. What God will do for me, He'll do for you. And you think, no one wants to hear me sing. God does, but no one else does. From the carnal tree has come so much spiritual frustration for the body, because it's been told from the philosophy of that tree of ministry that you can have all of God, but without a pathway to get there. And many of us have launched out believing I can have all of God. I can see the dead raised, the demons cast out. I can see blind eyes open. I can see prosperity and blessing and abundance. And we launched out and fell flat on our face over and over again, trying to copy another man's path, because he said, what God can do in me, He'll do in you. That is an unfair statement that comes often from the preachers of the carnal tree. But the preaching of the tree, the walk of the Spirit, can be duplicated, because how many here got the same singing voice as the person next to you? How many here got the same height as the person next to you? How about the same body shape? So how can we each say, you can have what I have? But how many here got the same born-again nature, same quality born-again nature that came from Jesus? How many here have the same quality of inner body, inner man, that came alive when you were born again? See, your inner man's mind, your inner man's emotions is in the same class as mine, as Paul's, even as Jesus's. Don't be shocked when you make that statement. Are you saying I'm like Jesus? Not in his divinity, no. But Adam himself was made in the image of God. Why would it be confusing to know that you and your reborn again man was made in the image of God? You can now understand God speak to you spiritual to spiritual. Why do we have so many believers living their whole life trying to receive and understand and know God through their outward man, when God's not the father of their outward man? He's the father of their inward man. So from my outward ability, my outward calling, my outward man, I cannot say to you, you can have whatever I have. God will give to you what he gave to me. From that tree, that is an unfair statement that have left many people broken. But from the tree of the walk of the Spirit, you have the same quality of nature that the Apostle Paul got. Your inner man was brought to life and is to be renewed with the knowledge of God, meaning you now have the same brain, the same quality of spiritual mind that I have, that Pastor Dave has, that Paul had, that Jesus had. You can know God. I had the one friend when I was in high school, just started serving God, not raised in church myself, and he had a great memory, and he would quote the scripture, and he had like the ability to memorize a lot of scripture. And I remember we would get together, and he was competitive. We played soccer together and hockey together, always competing as a young man. And I was just starting to serve God. And he said, oh, let's have a Bible off. Let's have a verse off. I'll say a verse, then you say a verse. Then I'll say a verse, and then you say a verse. And if we get it right, we keep going until one of us gets a word wrong. I mean, I was slaughtered within the first 5 minutes every time. I quit playing that game with him. But see, that's our difference of our outward man. But her inner man, same quality. You're not behind in any way. How much time you spend building that tree only comes from the Spirit. Doesn't come from the natural world. You can't transfer your talent, your gifts over to this tree. Your ability, you can't transfer it over. It's only built by things of the Holy Spirit. Worship, the Word, those are spiritual activities that build you up on the inner man. I remember I was driving to in Cleveland when we lived there. I was driving down, we have a country road. I would drive to the church in. As I was driving, an older guy pulled in behind me, and he was driving one of those, was it 1950-something Corvettes? You know, like the real classic. And it was decked out. It was rebuilt, shiny. You can tell he spent the last 10 years finding parts, painting it perfect, making it perfect. And there he was driving behind me, annoying me in my rearview mirror for all these miles on this country road. Because he couldn't pass me, and he just drove behind me, his little gray hair flowing in the wind, because it was a convertible. And all I can see is this guy living his dream. And I started to get jealous because I had like the same color red, but mine was an old Grand Am. You know. Getting jealouser by every mile, looking him in the rear of a mirror. And the Lord said to me, what are you jealous about? He spent all his life building that car. You're spending your time building your inner man. See, from the carnal tree, there's a way to serve God your whole life and to feel like you did a good job, but it's never going to get you to revival. You'll get to experiences with God on the outside, and it can't be duplicated. But the message of the walk of the Spirit tree is that you can have whatever you see Jesus had. You can do what he did because you have his nature in you. Your inner man is in the same class as Jesus, the man, had. You can know God the way he knew God. You can hear God the way he heard God. Again, in the carnal tree, they hear God. I heard God lots, but it was always about the anointing. Every message, every direction, every prophecy comes from one of these two trees. Every minute you spend praying in tongues, the inner man grows. And your ministry to God comes from that tree, not from the tree of the carnal man. How frustrating it must be if you have a supercharged outward man, disciplined, educated, powerful, motivated, and you come into church and they say, oh, you need to leave that outside. Oh, well, I don't get any credit for all this. No. Because what Jesus wants to happen is for when people meet you, they meet Jesus in you, not you. They hear worship. See, there's worship that comes from heaven that only your inner man will know. This is my Father. Your outer man will be bored with that. Man, that was the most boring worship ever. What's wrong with you? That was the best. No, that was the worst. Two different trees. Get on the right tree. Or I would say to you, let's stay in the right tree and feel confident in what God is building in you by living the lifestyle you're living. You are released. We'll see you at 10 o'clock.